ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Blue Jays Nation Radio
with Cam Lewis and Tyler Yaremchuk,
a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts.
Welcome into episode 198 of Blue Jays Nation Radio, presented by Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. Coombsy, it is actually bananas. We're closing in on episode 200.
It is. It feels like just yesterday we did. I think it was the 2021 season was the year we started doing this. It was the year they were playing on the road in Dunedin and Buffalo. It was that year. It seems like, in one way, it seems like forever ago, because you look at the players on that roster and the vibes and everything we were talking about. But then also it seems like yesterday, because we still have like a lot of the same talking points, like a lot of the same things that we're uncertain of. And it just reminds you that time is ultimately a flat circle.
Yeah, boy, that's an interesting spin on it. So this is going to be our fourth season doing the pod after every series?
I think so. Yeah, this will be, because yeah, 2021, 22, 23, yeah, 24. This is the fourth one. I proved that I know how to count. That was pretty
yeah.
good.
Well, no, that would make sense, right? Because there's roughly 50 series a year. Add in like the playoffs and off-season ones. Probably we've done about 65 a year, and then a few now early on here in spring training. Time flies. Time's a flat circle, sure. But we do have some stuff to get to today when it comes to spring training headlines, which are always fun. So we figured we'd hop on and do a pod. We're a few days behind on this one, but I think it's worth leading the show with Joey Votto, the hometown boy, Coombsy. I should have worn my Joey Votto jersey for the pod. I just remembered that I wanted to do that. But he posted a picture of himself in Toronto. And then a couple of days later, what do you know? He signs with the Blue Jays, and he's going to be, I think today the plan is for him to play in some minor league games. And I heard the rumor is potentially Sunday for him to get into some Grapefruit League action. But first off, we are firmly, and I will say it for the 198th time, we are a vibes podcast. This is a pro vibes move.
Yeah, this is absolutely a pro vibes move. It's hard to complain about this. I mean, if you want to complain about it, you'll find a way to complain about it. Joey Votto is 40 years old, and he's not Shohei Ohtani. He's not Juan Soto. So I guess, yeah, sure. He wasn't the big offseason addition that we're all hoping for in November, but given the context, I mean, you're adding a guy on a minor league contract. There's no such thing as a bad minor league deal. He even said, he's saying all the right things. He's got all the right quotes. He's saying, if I've got to start things off in AAA Buffalo, I'm going to earn my spot. You know, I'm going to work my way up. He doesn't think, all right, I'm, you know, a multi-time all-star, former MVP winner, future Hall of Famer. I'm just going to show up and be whatever position I want. He's, you know, he's going to go down to the minors, figure it out, earn his 40-man roster spot if he does, earn his playing time. I think that sounds great. I mean, like I said, there's no such thing as a bad minor league contract. There's no risk for the Blue Jays, and this is an interesting one. Like, this is an exciting one. If you're someone who's watched the Jays for, you know, 10 or 15 years, then you'll know that for years people talked about how the Jays should acquire Joey Votto. They should trade so-and-so to Cincinnati to get him. They should figure out a way to make it work. Later on in his career, when he was getting paid a lot and not doing as well, there was talk Rogers should flex their financial muscles, make a trade, take him on. Everybody wanted to see Joey Votto play in Toronto. And it turns out that Joey Votto also wanted to play in Toronto, and there's a very good chance he's going to be added to the 40-man roster. We're going to see him wear a Blue Jays jersey, and I think you're going to see a lot of fans in Toronto with Votto jerseys. I think it's one that's going to sell very well.
Oh, 100%. Whatever they end up paying him this year, as soon as he's added to the Major League roster, they'll make it back in jersey sales. You mentioned the age, obviously a thing. Last year, he was a negative 0.1 in the WAR column. Like, he's not a star addition. No one is trying to sell you on that. But I also thought it was interesting to see the people who did want to take this in a negative direction being like, oh yeah, they're just trying to cover up for a shitty offseason by like doing this and bringing in the home now kid. Listen, it's not like they gave him a 2-year deal at $20 million and are trotting him out as like the starting first baseman this year. Like they're just kind of in a way doing right by the player. He's a legend in the game from Canada. And you're sitting there going, you know what, if you want another shot and you want to prove it as the lone Canadian team, this is going to sound dumb to most people, but maybe you kind of owe it to Joey Votto to be the team that steps up and goes, we'll give you one last kick at it. And considering you didn't really replace Brandon Belt in the offseason, that spot is somewhat open.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not an, you can look at Joey Votto's numbers for the past couple of years and think, oh yeah, this guy's completely over the hill, but it was 2021 that he put up a 938 OPS playing in 129 games. In those last 2 years, 22 and 23, he was dealing with a handful of nagging injuries, and one of those main ones being a shoulder injury. And he passed his physical with the Blue Jays, so apparently that's all fine. And remember Brandon Belt, what he was coming into. He had that huge year during the COVID year in 2020, and then two poor seasons after that, because I think it was a knee injury. It was something lower body. And then, you know, he had that super slow start with the Jays, didn't play in spring training. April, he couldn't hit anything. We were like, what happened here? And that was a whole different deal. That was like a 1-year, $10 million deal. There was risk attached to that. Whereas with this one, I mean, it's minor league, like basically a league minimum salary. There's literally no risk. And he's 2 years away from being a very productive hitter. He got MVP votes in 2021. So, I mean, like, yeah, like you said, if the Jays had done the Isaiah Kiner-Falefa thing and signed Joey Votto in late December to a 2-year contract worth 7.5 mils annually, then yeah, you could point and laugh at it and be like, oh geez, this is a desperate move by a desperate team. But this is just late in the offseason. Something was an option that makes sense in a handful of different ways. Like you said, you have to replace Brandon Belt, veteran left-handed bat. And then also you need to have some veteran leader players in the clubhouse too. And again, there's literally no risk here. So no problem on my side.
Yeah, it's not like in other sports where he's going to take up cap space when he comes in. Like you can just fucking pay him. Like it doesn't matter. And also the only competition... Daniel Vogelbach, I guess, would be the big competition for him there. Spencer Horwitz, I suppose, but I would imagine they're going to start Horwitz in AAA, and you know, Votto probably again a little bit away, but I would imagine Horwitz is getting half the year in AAA before they consider calling him up, even though he looked fine for some stretches last year.
That's sort of the thing, is you add these veteran depth players and it just gives you more options. I think as you watch baseball seasons, you kind of realize like there's a lot of what happens over the course of a 162 game marathon is a crapshoot. Like sometimes you just need a handful of players at these positions because someone's going to get hot for a month and then they're gone. And then somebody fills up into the spot. Like last year, think about Davis Schneider. He showed up in August and he was amazing down the stretch for the Blue Jays. Horwitz showed up in September when Brandon Belt was injured and he had a lot of great at bats, but it's maybe not necessarily realistic to expect a rookie like Spencer Horwitz to be a good major league baseball player for the entirety of the season. But if you call him up in August or September after his full year working in Buffalo, maybe that works. So what the Jays have now with their, I guess, group of big kind of lefty bats is you can maybe start things off with Vogelbach. If he has a good spring, give him a 40-man spot. Votto can start things off in Buffalo. I don't think it's a bad thing to have Joey Votto around all your AAA guys. Seems like a great leader to have around. If he's doing well in Buffalo, then, and Vogelbach is not doing well in Toronto, then there's your switch right there. And if neither of the veterans are working out down the stretch, then, well, you have Spencer Horwitz in AAA. So having this positional depth, having these different options, there's just more darts that you can throw at the board for who might have a big season or who might have a big stretch to help you win some games, get over the top, go on a little run at a certain point during the season.
Joey Votto, just to wrap this conversation up, still just 2 years removed from getting MVP votes in that season you mentioned. He finished 16th in MVP voting, but he still got votes. I want to stick with the conversation about some of the bats that are battling for spots in the spring, Coombsy. And one guy who's been making a lot of noise in a positive way is Ernie Clement. His batting average up in like the 380s, 390s so far through spring. There was a stretch. I think it still is. His spring OPS is above 1,000. And it's like, holy shit, the fact that he's out of options or is running out of options this guy's got to be on the opening day roster.
Yeah, there's really no way that they're going to be able to. And I mean, look, it's spring training stats. It's not that big of a deal. But this is a guy who came up and he was fantastic last year. He was good with the Jays. He was really good in AAA Buffalo. A guy who walked more times than he struck out. Great batting average. Great ball to bat skills. And then, of course, this year so far in spring, 400 batting average, 1.143 OPS. He's hitting home runs. He's doing everything. And he isn't able to be optioned to AAA without going through waivers. So it's pretty hard to imagine a player who had the season he did last year, plus the spring he's having right now, is going to get through. Like, you know, there's somebody out there that would be comfortable starting him at, you know, second, third, short, because he's a good defender too. So if you're the Blue Jays, you have to find somebody else on the infield who can go down. It looks like the guy who's probably going to draw that last draw is Santiago Espinal, who can be optioned, though he has been on the major league team now for, you know, the last three seasons. But he can still be optioned to AAA without waivers, and he just hasn't produced the offense recently that a guy like Clement has. And just because Espinal was, you know, he had that, I wouldn't want to call it a great season. It was a great first half where he was an all-star a couple of years ago. Hasn't really lived up to that since. So if you have a guy like Clement who's been killing it, you owe it to him to get the shot, because, I mean, you can't really have guys like that perform at that level and not get the shot, because then it kind of contradicts the whole other point we just talked about, which is, oh, you have this quality depth in AAA. Well, if you do all that and you don't get a shot, then what's that really saying to everyone?
Yeah, the other thing with Espinal too, when you look at his playing time, he played a lot under Charlie Montoyo. His playing time fell off a cliff when John Schneider took over. Just from that fact alone, you wonder if Schneider is not the biggest Santiago Espinal guy. And I know some people are like, oh, he's got the $2 million price tag, whatever. I wouldn't be surprised if they traded him, if I'm being totally honest. Like, again, that price tag is low enough that I think a team would sit there and be like, yeah, we'll grab that guy from you. We'll pay that salary, no problem, because we see a bit of upside. And one area where I think the Jays should be adding, I think they need a legit fourth outfielder. And I know Kevin Biggio can do it, and I know Davis Schneider can do it, but those two guys are in the mix for infield spots, right? Battling for second base. I wonder if maybe there's a spot somewhere where a team's got an extra outfielder and you can flip Espinal for, again, someone who's like a good, could maybe even be a better glove than guys like Schneider and Biggio, but a good glove and a legit fourth outfield. They're not just guys who are going to bounce around and play these platoon kind of roles.
Yeah, since we mentioned Clement, it's also worth mentioning Nathan Lucas, who's had a really good spring through nine games so far. He has a 500 batting average and a 1,200 OPS, though he is somebody with options. So it's not really the same situation with Clement where you're like, oh man, Nathan Lucas has had this great spring training and we're going to lose him because we're trying to send him down. And he's a guy you can send down, and that's, you know, the ideal guy to call up if there's an injury to a Kiermaier or a Varsho or somebody like that. Get a left-handed bat who can play defensively well. But you're not wrong when you say the Blue Jays could use a real fourth outfielder, because I think the plan we all sort of thought was when they signed Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, then he would be the fourth outfielder. But now that Matt Chapman's not here, it looks like he's kind of penciled into playing a lot of time at third base. So if he's going to be there, then you can't necessarily lean on him playing that many games in the outfield. So Schneider called this a cool puzzle to solve last month. And I still don't necessarily agree with that sentiment. I think I would rather just have a fourth outfielder where I'm comfortable, that, because especially you have Kevin Kiermaier in front of him in the lineup. That's a player who's had a lot of injuries in the past. You want to have somebody that you're comfortable shoving into a position for, I don't know, it's not crazy to say that your fourth outfielder maybe plays in 100 games, 80 games, something like that. You want to have somebody where you feel good enough having them in the lineup that many times. And at this stage of the season, you're probably going to have to look for a trade.
Yeah, it's probably going to come down to that. And I just, again, look, like, Santiago Espinal is not going to be happy if he goes down to AAA. Like, it's also probably a scenario where if you're going to have a disgruntled guy down in AAA, like, yeah, go move him for something you can actually, that can actually be of use on the active roster. One name that I saw making the rounds on Twitter, and it's getting weird in the media between his agent and the Giants, but it's JD Davis, who wouldn't be that, again, legit fourth outfielder. I know he can play a little bit of left, and that would be a nice area to add, but I don't think he's exactly a fit. Do you like the idea of JD Davis, who just cleared waivers?
Yeah, so this is, for context, this is the Giants basically cut JD Davis because they signed Matt Chapman, and he's now an unrestricted, or not an unrestricted, just a free agent, not hockey term. This is somebody who plays first and third base mostly. So if you're the Jays, you think about it as, all right, this guy got displaced from his roster for Matt Chapman. He makes sense to come to the Blue Jays as a Matt Chapman replacement. Davis had a big season in New York with the Mets a few years ago with an 8.95 OPS. And then after being traded to San Francisco in 2022, over 49 games, put up an 8.57 OPS. So he has been a good hitter in the past, but it's been a real roller coaster ride. It's kind of one good year, one bad year, one pretty good year, one bad year, back to the good year, that kind of cycle. And it's, you kind of wonder, is this, if he doesn't bring the defense, you know, the Blue Jays are all crazy about having plus defenders in every spot for their pitchers. If he doesn't bring the defense, then it probably doesn't make that much sense. They're probably better off having, you know, defensively sound players at third base like Kiner Falefa, even if his offense is terrible, because so many of their pitchers are, you know, guys that are going to allow some contact and need good defenders behind them. So I think he'll wind up back with the Mets. That's where he had his best season. I think it kind of makes sense, but it's a weird situation all in all. I mean, like the Giants apparently didn't make their first offer ahead of arbitration to Davis this year until like 15 or 20 minutes before the deadline. So it was the expectation that he would have to go to a hearing and then they'd be able to cut him later for less. So it's like they had this whole plan mapped out, and you can kind of see why him and his agent would be a little pissed off, but you should be able to find at this point in the offseason a pretty good situation.
Yeah, I agree. Not a fit necessarily for the Jays, especially when you just look at, like, again, if he's going to be a first slash third baseman, okay, you have IKF, Justin Turner could maybe slot into one of those spots in spot duty. And then you just invited Joey Votto. I don't think it makes sense at all, but I saw the name popping up a little bit over the last few days. Let's move over to the rotation. And I mean, we're sitting here talking about the bats and, oh my God, like you said, the puzzle to solve, all these good pieces everywhere. And the rotation, not as much good news. Kevin Gausman's behind schedule, hasn't pitched yet in the spring. There are question marks about his ability to be an option on opening day for this team. I saw some chatter that it might have to be Jose Berríos who gets the ball for game one of 62, or one of 162. But the Gausman thing, how concerned are you about this? He's been a guy who stayed healthy for the Jays, but health is never guaranteed.
No, it's a difficult one. And this is one of those things that people talked about during the dog days of winter, which was, though you look at the Blue Jays and you think this is all about pitching and defense, run prevention, the starting rotation is so good. It was so good last year. Because it was good last year doesn't mean it'll be good this year. And one thing that the Jays did have in 2023 in their favor was a really good bill of health. And Kevin Gausman now is 33 years old. He's pitched a ton of innings in the past couple of years, 174 and two thirds in his first year in Toronto, and then 185 last year. And then, of course, in his last year with San Francisco, the All-Star year, 192 innings before that. So, I mean, this guy's logged a ton of innings over the past few years. And given the age, you never really know. You just got to knock on wood and hope that everything's good for Kevin Gausman. Because if you look at the Blue Jays' entire roster, I think this is probably the guy who's the most difficult to replace. You look back at last season and the amount of times that Gausman had a start that, you know, ended a losing streak, or there had been a couple of rough outings before that and the bullpen had been taxed. Think about when Alek Manoah was down in the complex league and they had Trevor Richards and Bowden Francis doing the piggyback thing, and they only had six or seven guys in the bullpen. It was really necessary a lot of times for Gausman to come out and throw 7-8 strong innings and be that ace that he was at the top of the rotation. And any concern around Gausman is huge anxiety for the Blue Jays, though. It was Scott Mitchell that pointed out at TSN that the way that they have Jose Berríos lined up with his spring training starts, it seems like he'll get that first one when the Jays play Tampa to open the season. And it kind of looks like they might do one run through the rotation before Gausman is able to join. So we might not see Gausman pitch until maybe that series in New York that they play after that, or even after that, who even knows? And we also know that Alek Manoah is not going to be ready for opening day. So that's two question marks. The thing with Gausman, it seems like he's not going to need the injured list, but he also hasn't made a Grapefruit League start yet. And there's only, what, 2 weeks left? and Manoah we already know. So this is supposed to be the guaranteed slam dunk, no doubt strength of the Blue Jays, and this is more in spring training, and it's already showing. Like, a pitching rotation is fragile, man. It's one or two injuries and things can be changed. And I don't know, it's you hope for Gausman that this isn't anything serious, but I can't think of a Blue Jay that I would worry more about than him.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Yeah, he's probably their MVP. So you would like that guy to be ready to go. And here's where I'm not concerned about Gausman, veteran guy, 30 plus starts in three straight seasons. Like, that doesn't happen very often. The durability has been impressive with him. He's a veteran. He should be able to jump into the rotation at any point and not fully miss a beat just because he's so good and so experienced. That's where I'm not concerned about Gausman. Where I am concerned is this vagueness of shoulder fatigue this early in the year. And it scares me a little bit because you worry that it's shoulder fatigue, shoulder fatigue, shoulder fatigue. Oh, we found something. And if this just lingers, like, the vagueness of that term is what scares me, man.
Yeah, and we've remembered times in the past. The Blue Jays haven't always been as transparent with what's going on with their players and their injuries as they probably should be. This has pissed fans off a lot. It was George Springer in his first year, 2021. He had, was it a knee issue? Something like that. It was some kind of weird injury that popped up during spring training, and over and over and over again, they kept saying, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. It's probably going to be ready for opening day. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Then finally opening day rolled around and he wasn't ready. And then he didn't make his debut until a few weeks into April. He was rushed back, and then we all saw him limp down the first baseline, and they kept saying after that, there's no injury, but then he wasn't in the lineup the next day. You just wonder when there's things like this going on, like you said, is there something else? Are we getting the full picture? Should we be more worried about this than we actually are? Like, I don't want to be an alarmist or anything, but there just is a precedent from the past where they make these things seem like they're less than they are.
Again, Manoah going to start the year on the injured list. That's just, again, you were hoping for a bounce back. It feels like it's just not going to happen. I was hoping to see some momentum built up in spring training. So, I mean, who knows? Yeah. Maybe Manoah bounces back in. But now all we have from Manoah this spring is a shitty start and a trip to the IL to begin the season. So just looking at who's going to be on the roster in terms of pitchers, the bullpen is set. Romano, Swanson, Meza, Green, Garcia, Cabrera, and Trevor Richards. And it looks like the first trip through the rotation is going to be in whatever order: Barrios, Kikuchi, Bassett. And then it looks like both Mitch White and Bowden Francis might be making starts here, Coombsy.
Yeah, it could be something like that. I mean, if Gausman's not ready to go, then it might be both of them. If Gausman is good to go in the first turnaround of the rotation, then What probably makes sense is Francis makes that start as the number five or the number four, depending on Gausman. And then you have Mitch White or Richards available. I think Mitch White probably fits better into the piggyback spot this time because the Jays would like to use Trevor Richards and his excellent changeup in the spots, you know, the strikeout spots where they want him to be. So, I mean, Mitch White's velocity has come back since making some changes in Buffalo last year after he was DFA'd. Bowden Francis, he was great for the Jays last year. He's become a really popular arm. Everyone raves about him, and he's had a fantastic spring. He's one of those guys who, you know, came into grapefruit play kind of trying to earn a spot. And then even without the Manoa injury, even if they were actually still competing, the way Francis has pitched, it's hard to option that guy to AAA Buffalo. It's like we talked about with Clement and Nathan Lucas, guys like that. If they're playing well, then they have to earn a spot. That's the point. Like, that's what tells players, you know, this is what the process is. So Francis has been one of their better arms so far in spring training. And I think it was Chris Bassett that said it wouldn't be shocking if either him or top prospect Ricky Tiedemann. And it's interesting to have both of those two guys kind of in the same sentence mentioned together, because everyone knows all about Tiedemann, one of the top left-handed pitching prospects in baseball. But having Francis right in that mix, Bassett said it wouldn't be shocking if at the end of the year this guy was our best starter. That's how impressed they are with the stuff and what they think of him. So he should be on the big league roster, and he should get an opportunity to play a decent sized role. I don't know if he sticks as a starter or if he's better in the pen, but he's definitely earned that number five spot thus far.
I think those are all the headlines from around spring training for the Toronto Blue Jays as we continue to inch our way closer and closer to to opening day. This is that part of the spring too, where, like, again, there are some interesting roster conversations to have. The first couple of weeks I sit there, I'm like, oh my God, baseball's back. I have it on the TV. I'm like, this is so much fun. I'm now at the point of spring where I'm like, why is this a month long? Like, come on, let's wrap this shit up. Let's go. Everyone's gotten their reps in. Can we just get to meaningful baseball? It's a little bit of a slog right now, but I will say Votto potentially being in the lineup this weekend will be, this is going to sound must watch TV as much as spring training can be must watch TV. I'm just excited to see it. The visual of it will be cool for me.
I was going to say, honestly, just like, for the sake of making the spring training broadcasts interesting, I think that adding a guy like Votto in the middle of spring training is a thumbs up move.
Yeah, that's fair. Let's go around baseball a little bit and really just go around the AL East, because while we talk about Kevin Gausman and Alek Manoa as, you know, potential red flags popping up here in spring training, the Blue Jays are not the only team in their division fighting the injury bug. It's not the Baltimore Orioles. They look absolutely unbelievable. The Orioles look like they're going to call up Jackson Holliday. He's going to win MVP and they're going to win 110 games this year. That's frightening. What's good news for the Jays, I suppose, Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge, both questionable for opening day. And the Gerrit Cole thing, we talked about the vagueness of Kevin Gausman, and oh boy, are they maybe lying about how serious this is. With Gerrit Cole, there's legit fear it might be very serious.
Yeah, the way they talked about it is they're talking about the elbow, that being an issue. He had an MRI, and now they're allowing, I think it's two other doctors to give a second opinion on the results of that said MRI. And Cole's elbow, which, I mean, whenever it's the elbow, like with the shoulder, you're like, oh, geez, that's not good, shoulder injury. But when it's the elbow injury, you really, especially with a guy like Cole, his velocity, the pitches that he throws, I mean, he's a workhorse too, just like Kevin Gausman, a guy who's logged a ton of innings over his career over the last few seasons. And I mean, pretty much for the exact same logic that I just talked about with Gausman, is if the Yankees don't have Gerrit Cole, like, that's a really difficult loss. Like, he was the unanimous Cy Young winner for the American League last year. We saw him go up against the Jays multiple times, and he was excellent. He was a really good pitcher last year. And without that at the top of your rotation, and then also potentially missing Aaron Judge for any amount of time, we all saw what the Yankees looked like last year after Judge made that catch at Dodger Stadium and he hurt his foot. There's been talk about that for since that happened, that Judge's foot injury is going to be something that lingers with him for perhaps the rest of his career. And now there's a new issue on top of that. Like, the Yankees, two really expensive, really good players now over the age of 30, and you kind of wonder how these contracts are going to age for them. If the Yankees are missing these two players for any amount of time, then the entire narrative of their season changes. You know, it's they come into the year with everyone healthy. You got Juan Soto, revamped pitching staff. Things look great in New York. And then you lose those two guys, and suddenly your narrative is, can Juan Soto compensate for Aaron Judge, as opposed to this being a 1-2 punch? Giancarlo Stanton, he has to bounce back to fill into that role. Somebody else has to step up in the pitching rotation to fill Cole's spot. Like, those are ugly storylines to have in the middle of March. That's not what you want to see if you're a New York Yankees fan, but we are not New York Yankees fans.
The storyline will be Yankees signed Blake Snell and JD Martinez. That would be the storyline, and that would suck. The Red Sox also dealing with a major injury blow as well. I do feel, man, Lucas Giolito, you go, you sign the ticket, all fired up, and then you don't even make it through spring. He's done for the year. That's a tough blow for the Red Sox. I think they're the fifth team in this division. And I, with the Giolito thing too, and looking at what that rotation is now, I think it might not even be close.
Yeah, no, I think the Red Sox, coming into the year, it was fair to have them penciled in as the number five team, but there's also enough upside there. They have a good prospect pool. There's players who will come up and could make a difference. Giolito looked like the kind of addition who, if he had a good season, then could take Boston's rotation and make it decently better. That's kind of what they needed last year, was like a something close to a top end starter. And maybe he could have been that, but without it, then yeah, you're just, it's a difficult one to compensate for. And they didn't have a huge offseason. They didn't make that many moves. So to lose one of, if not probably your biggest addition from the offseason, is just a huge kind of vibe killer right before the season starts. It's really hard to gain momentum when, all right, we got this new guy with upside, a new guy that's going to make our team better. And 2 weeks before the season, he goes down with this sort of injury. You can't even really look at it like, oh, well, we're going to miss this guy for 4 months, and then he's going to come back at the All-Star break and he's going to help us down the stretch. It's over, you know, he's not going to be back this year. And I think that's a pretty difficult one for a team to come back from in spring training. But you kind of notice the amount of pitching injuries recently, and it's like, is this a pitching clock thing? Is it everybody was just out of their rhythm last year and they threw too quickly, or something happened and then nobody was, you know, bouncing back properly over the offseason and then came in this year and they just weren't ready? It's an interesting thing to consider, because it really does feel like more names than usual on the pitching side are dealing with injuries right now. And it's a lot of big names too, like workhorse big names who you don't really see on the injured list. Like, you don't really see, it's not like Garrett Cole is the kind of name who bounces off the 15-day injured list two or three or four times a year. You know, same thing with Kevin Gausman we're talking about with the Jays. Like you said, he's not really the kind of guy who, he's a durable veteran. So something to think about. It's an interesting thing. I feel like this is going to be something that we talk about quite a bit throughout the year, is pitcher injuries and injuries to guys that you don't really see on the injured list.
Yeah, that is an interesting point you make about the injuries going up with the pitch clock. I know there were a handful of veteran pitchers last year making a lot of noise about that on social media. So interesting. Spring training continues on for the Toronto Blue Jays and the rest of Major League Baseball. For the Jays, Votto this weekend, and hoping everybody stays healthy. That is definitely the stage of spring training we're at right now. Coombsy, we'll have another pod in a little bit. Going to do probably a big season preview edition of the show with a couple of new friends maybe as well. But that's a wrap on episode 198, presented by Betano, the 2023 EGR Brand of the Year for Best Sportsbook Operator. The game starts now at betano.ca. 19+. Please play responsibly. Coombsy, we'll chat in about a week or so.
Best wishes.
Thanks for tuning in to Blue Jays Nation Radio. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.